2 Kings chapter 5. Boy, I prayed while ago. I was a little sick over the holidays. Stacy laughed about it, I guess, at first. But the issue was I was healthy while she was at work. And then when she got off for 2 weeks, I got sick. And so she was having to try to take care of me a little bit during that time. Now all the sickness is gone, but I just still have a lingering cough. That's the last thing to go away. So hopefully you bear with me and kind of overlook the cough part as we try to get through this message. I've been looking forward to preaching this message now for a while. The title of the message this morning is henceforth. Just that simple word, henceforth. The word henceforth means from this point forward is all it means. And I came across this as I was reading through the Bible this last year and reading through the New Testament. It's found several times in the New Testament, the word henceforth. And as I was reading it, for some reason, you know how the Bible is a living word. And sometimes you'll read, I forget who it was mentioning it the other day. I think it was Brother Nethercutt saying he had read the Bible and read through something one time. The next time he read it, something just jumped out fresh and new to him. Well, this time reading through this year, that word henceforth just kept jumping out. And I began to think about just from this time forward. And I began to think, what a great message or a great thought for New Year's, that people are making New Year's resolution. They're saying, from this time forward, everybody does this at the beginning of the year. They say, from this time forward, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. From this time forward, I'm going to quit smoking. From this time forward, Stacy would love this, if I never drink another Diet Coke. She doesn't like me drinking the artificial flavored stuff, and she said it's going to affect me someday, and I think it probably will. So I do have to get rid of that. I've been trying to drink more water and just get a little bit healthier. But people make those resolutions. They say, from now on, I'm going to. Anybody ever done that before? How many of you have said from now on, but it lasted about a week? Anybody else like that? Well, that's kind of the idea that I want to give you this morning. Let me say this. Henceforth means from this point on. Let me just tell you a couple of things very quickly before we start with this chapter. It's this. You can't get this and listen to it. You can't change who you were. You cannot change who you used to be. You can't change it. It's not going to change. You cannot change who you were, but you can, with God, change who you are and who you will be. You can't change who you were, but you can change who you are and who you will be. Let me tell you something else you can do. You cannot change where you have been. You cannot change where you have been before. But with God, you can change where you are going in the future. You can change that. That's something that can be changed. Let me say something else. You cannot change what you have done in your past. Can't undo it. Can't go back and undo the things you've done in your past. But you can, with God, change the things that you will do with your future. And it all hinges on this word, if you would just apply it to your life, henceforth. From now forward, this is what I'm going to be doing with my life through Christ. And it's an interesting time. You see it through the Old Testament, but one of the greatest ones that I saw when I was looking this word up is in 2 Kings chapter 5. So if you'll read with me there, 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 1. Now Naaman, most of you know this man, captain of the host of the kings of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was sick. He was a sickly man. And a leper is a great illustration of sin and how it just deteriorates our life till it brings death into the life. So it's always been used that way. Verse number 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies, had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So you understand, this is a young Israelite girl that as Syria has gone out into battle under this man who is this leader of the men, they have captured, probably maybe killed her parents, has died in battle. But in any wise, they have taken her as a captive, and now she serves in their house. She's been taken. Imagine if you were taken from your family to a foreign country, and now you're the servant of the leaders in that place and a high-ranking individual in that place. She is now this servant for them. Verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. What a sweet young lady this is, that even though her lot in life is pretty bad, she still is following God and is trying to reach people through God. It's really an interesting story about her life as well. And so, verse number 4, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therefore sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now, the problem is they sent the letter to the wrong person. He's now going to the king of that area and saying, would you help him? That's not where the healing is found. It's not found in going to the governor of the city to get the help. It's to go to the God of those people that he's going to get the help from. And so I'm not going to read the rest of the story because you can get it, and we'll pick up reading down a little bit further. But what has happened here is he has to go to the man of God. This is where he has to go. And the man of God is going to tell him what he must do in order to have his condition cleansed. And so he finally goes. In verse number 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord its God and strike his hands over the place and recover the leper. Isn't that amazing what he thought? He thought that this man, because he is so great, Naaman is, he thought, because I'm such a great person, that the man of God would come out, he'd wave his hands, he'd say a magic little spell, and then the leprosy would go away. And it wasn't going to happen that way because, like many of us, we have to be humbled sometimes before we ever come to a place where we will receive what God has for us in our life. And Naaman was like that. He was very full of his own self, and he was not going to come to God on God's terms. He wanted God to come to him on his terms. And God doesn't work that way. God works with us coming to him on his terms. And so that's what he wanted. So he went away in a rage. In verse number 13, his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying that the man of God, and his flesh came again like in the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. See, once he would submit himself to what God said, then the healing would come in this leprosy. Like us, it's the same thing of when we will do what God has said for us. What has God told us to do to cleanse us from our sin? To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what he said for us to do. And so that's what we have to do. Submit ourselves to what God has said. Come to God on his terms, and we can be saved and cleansed from this leprosy we have of sin. Now watch what happens, though, in verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, he's had an experience with God. Now watch his result of his experience with God. Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. It's the man of God and him back and forth. Verse 17, this is a crucial verse, you need to get it. And Naaman said, shall thou not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burdens of earth? For thy servant will, say the next word with me, henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice under other gods, but under the Lord. He's saying, I've had an experience with God now. God has done something in my life. God has cleansed me from this thing that was killing me. And because of my experience with God, from this time forward, I am going to be a changed person. From this time forward, I'm not going to do like I used to do. I'm not going back to that life. I'm having a new life. I'm not going to sacrifice to my old gods. I'm going to only be a sacrifice to this new God. There is only one true God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so he's had an experience with God, and because of this experience with God, he's saying, listen, there is no other God but the one true God. And now I will only serve him. That's the statement he's making henceforth from this time forward. In verse number 18, he says, in this thing the Lord pardoned thy servant, that when my master, this is what he's saying, I've got to go back to my old life. I've got to go back to my old life. That when my master goeth unto the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Now, you don't ever hear anything really about Naaman after this, but what you do see is something changed in the heart of Naaman. Something happened right then. Naaman is saying this. He says, listen, I've had this experience with God, and because of my experience with God, I know that there's only one true God. There's not many gods like I used to believe, but now I believe there's only one true God. That is the Lord God of Israel. For us, after salvation, we'd say, I know there's not many gods. There's not a Buddha and a Muhammad and an Allah and different things like this. It is only one true God, and it's through Jesus Christ that we receive salvation and eternal life. That's kind of what we would apply it to in this time. And now he's saying this. He's made the statement to the prophet. He said this, I don't want to go back to worshiping and serving the old gods. Now, I've got to go back to my old life, and the lot I have in my old life, I'm going to go in with my master, and he's going to sacrifice. But what he's saying, there's a change in his heart that he says this, listen, I don't want to go back to that old life, but I'm going to have to in the lot that I have and what I'm doing. But he's saying, God, would you please pardon me? And some of the things I'm going to have to do in my old life, I don't really want to have to do them, but I'm going to have to go into those things and enter into them. God, help me as I go back into this old life. Now, I want you to get something. This is really interesting for you to get a hold of, and this will help you in your own life, is this. There are some things that we are not going to be able to change about our past. Naaman, at this point, he's had a henceforth experience. Naaman cannot go back and undo all the sacrifices to the wrong gods. Naaman can't go back and undo the fact that he has taken this poor girl captive. It can't be undone. That's not going to be changed, folks. No matter how much his life has now changed and he realizes there's a new God, he can't go back and undo all the things that he has done in his past. He cannot change where he used to go. All he can change is what he does from now on. That's what henceforth is in our life. It's kind of a line in the sand where I can't change the fact that I've wronged. Listen, that poor girl has been wronged, correct? Amen. You can't go back and undo that. You can't untake her as a captive. He can't undo it, but what he can do is from this point forward, do something with his life. That's all he can do. We bring things into our life and we get ourselves in situations and then we run into God. People come to the church, in this church right now, in this group sitting right here, there's people in this room right now. Your life is in a knot. You ever get your shoelaces in a knot? It takes forever to get those things undone. You got to pull on this one and pull on this one, and finally you pull on the right one, and the whole thing unravels and it gets better, right? But it takes some time. It takes some pulling. There's a lot of you sitting in this room. You came to Christ. You came to Christianity, and you had an experience with God, and now you say this, this is the one and only, the true God. I believe it now. I didn't believe it before, but I believe it now. But I have gotten my life into a complete and total knot. And you can't go back and undo that. You can't undo it. But what you can do is you can, from this point forward, do something with your life. From this point forward, you can start fixing those things. Can I tell you what you can do? Can I tell you what Naaman could have done? He could have, from that point, from henceforth, he could have marched right back to his house, got that little Israelite girl, set her down and say, I'm sorry for the way I used to be in my old life. I'm not the man I used to be. We sing a song here sometimes and we talk about, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. In the song, they go back to the old house, and when they go in, the little boy, the man's son, runs and hides behind the door. He remembers how dad used to be in the old house, but the dad says in the song, thanks to Calvary, I'm not that person I used to be. I've had an experience with God. Something has happened in my life and I'm not that person. You know, he's saying, son, I can't do anything about the person I used to be, but I can do something about the person I will be in the future. That's what he's saying in that song. And that's what the deal is. I need you to get a hold of. You can go back and you can say, some of you have come into Christianity. You've gotten saved and you've got a divorce from your past, or you've got something bad in your past that's happened. It's been destructive in your past. There's been destructive things in the past in your life. And you can't go back and undo those things. But can I tell you what you can do? From henceforth, you can move forward with your life. You can go back to those people you've wronged in the past and say this. Listen now, you can go back and you can say, I am not the person I used to be. I would guarantee you that he would have no problem me saying this. But Miss Mina got up on New Year's and said, I'm so thankful for the husband that I have in Gary Dias. He's a godly man and he lives the same way at church. He lives it at home. That's what she said. And I'm thankful for that person. Can I tell you something? I guarantee you he has not always been that man. That there is a past that he has that he can't go back and undo that past. All he can have is a henceforth experience in his life to where he is now a different person than he used to be. And many of us have the same things in our life. We had a henceforth experience, and now we can only go forward with our life. You know what we can do? We can go back to the people we've wronged in the past and say, I'm sorry, I know this is who I used to be. I can remember, I don't know how much of this message I'll give you to this morning, but I can remember before getting saved, being a soldier in the military, and had a guy, I think it's the same rank as me, but he was different from me. He was religious. I would say it that way. I kind of know where he came from. He was religious, and I was not. And I was mean. I mean, I was just a mean individual, and was hateful to people, and would try to start fights with people, and try to ridicule them, and try to physically get into confrontations with people. And that's the way I was up to a certain point, up to my henceforth experience with Christ at the age of 26. And I remember that I would try to start problems with him, and I would try to goat him into a fight. And I'd say terrible things about him. And I'd say, to be honest with you, he had a sick daughter. I'd say terrible things about him and about his family. Just hateful. I mean, just a hateful individual. And I remember after I got saved and I came to this church, and the Lord began to work on me and I began to change. I was not the person I was before. And when I had that henceforth experience with God, you know what the Holy Spirit began to bring to my mind? There is a man running around in this world who you have really wronged and hurt. And you ought to try to find that person and tell him that you're not the person you used to be. And you ought to tell him you're sorry and make this thing right. And it began to work. I mean, it really began to weigh on me very heavily that I needed to go back and do this thing. And so what I did was I began to pray about it. This is the honest truth. This is the craziest thing you ever heard. But I began to pray about it. God, I'd like to find this guy to tell him that I'm sorry. And I was working as a CID agent here at the CID office here at Fort Hood. And as I was thinking about this over this month, you're going to think this is a made-up story, but it's the truth. I was walking down a hallway in the office and turned the corner, and there was that guy standing there in the hallway. He had later on left where he was at and become a CID agent as well. And now we're both working in the same office. And I rounded a corner and ran into him, and I grabbed him, and I said, I need to talk to you for a second. And I said, you remember me? He said, yeah, we used to work together, such and such. I said, can you come in this office with me? Right now, I want to tell you something. And I told him, I didn't use the word I'd had a henceforth experience, but what I did tell him is, I have been born again. I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and now I am saved. And God has done a work in me, and I'm not the person I used to be. And where I used to be hateful and mean and destructive and want to fight, now, and there's something inside of me that has a love for you where I used to have a hatred for you. And I said, I used to be so cruel and so mean. And I believe I began to weep telling him this because I felt so burdened about how bad I had been to this man. And you know what he said? It was so interesting. He said, I don't even remember any of those things you did to me. And I said, how could you not remember the hatefulness that I did? He said, I just don't remember that. He said, I remember you, but I don't remember the hateful things. And I told him, I said, I remember them. And I want you to accept my apology. I'm sorry that I was like that. I'm not that person anymore. I'm not that person. And we have to have those henceforth experiences. And the only thing you can do with a henceforth experience is you can't go back and undo who you used to be. But what you can do is try to make those things right. You can try to make those things right with people. You can call them up and say, you can call a family member and say, listen, I used to be this way and I'm not that way anymore. I can't go back and undo. I can't go back and undo where I've went, who I used to be, where I used to go. But I can, from this point forward, be a different person. I can be a different person. And we're able to do that. Can I tell you, listen, we just got through reading as a church through Genesis chapter 1 through 3, 4, 5, 6, and on through that. We just got through reading as a church. If you've read, you read through Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you know they started off in paradise, right? Paradise. I mean, it was great. Do you know what you were created for? You were created for paradise. And you know, one day in the future, you're going to be living in paradise. You know, they were created for paradise. But they messed up. They messed up. It's sin. They messed up. And can I tell you something? Listen, whenever we do something in our life, there's always consequences that follow the things we do in our life. There always is. And there was consequences. And the consequences for what they did in their life in disobeying God and obeying their own self and obeying the serpent who came to them and lied to them and told them a lie. They disobeyed God, plainly disobeyed God, and rebelled against what God said and did what this serpent said. There was a consequence. What was the consequence? You have to leave this place and go to the next place. And so now, listen, now they're in a new place and they have to deal with God in the new place they're at. They can't go back. Can't go back and undo what's happened in the past. You just have to go forward from where you're at henceforth, for where you're at now. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that's good about God. God can deal with you from the henceforth place you're at now. Because that's what God did. From this point forward, God didn't say, well, you've messed your life up. You've messed up some things. And because you've messed up some things, from this point forward, I have nothing to do with you. No, that's not the way God deals with us. God deals with us like this. I have messed up my life. Okay, you're right. You have messed up some things in your life. You're right. You can't undo who you used to be. What you can do is from this point forward, walk in the mercy and the grace of God from this point forward. Amen. That's what you're able to do. Because God is merciful. God is long-suffering. God is gracious to us. God is good to us. And so God, from that point forward, God didn't say, Adam and Eve, you've done wrong. This is what he said. You can't go back to the paradise, but I will deal with you in this world from this point forward. Things are going to be tougher. You know, before, everything just happened for you. Now you're going to have to work a little harder. It's going to be a little tougher. And those of you that have had, listen, those of you that, listen, some of you young people that are playing on phones and doing other things right now, you know what you need to do? You need to think about something. You've got an opportunity right now. You've got an opportunity right now to live for God. You've got an opportunity to live for God in something that your parents have created for you that would be very, very good. You got a blessing. Somebody's handing to you. Listen, I can take you to some countries where some kids have nothing. I know in Thailand, there was one young man that wore the same suit of clothes every single day. Why? Because dad and brothers died of AIDS and mom disowned him. He had nothing. And you've got everything. And you're living in something that's been handed to you that's very good. And this is what you'll do with it. You'll say, I'll just rebel against it. Can I tell you something? You are headed on a trail that will wreck your life. It'll wreck it. you know what? Preacher is always saying, and mom and dad's always saying, I ought to get into a relationship with somebody that is also a Christian, somebody that I'll have a good relationship with, that we can build on the foundation of the Word of God and on church, and we can grow together. How many of you would, you don't have to raise your hand, but would agree with me that when you enter into a relationship, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. How many of you can understand and can agree that when a saved person marries into a relationship with an unsaved person, that it can cause a lot of friction? You say, but now I've had a henceforth experience and I'm a believer and they're an unbeliever. Now what do? Now you move from this point forward. And now you try to win them over to Christ. Now you try to lovingly pull them to the same place that you're at. But I'm telling you, some of you young people, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. Some of us older people, some of us, we're going to miss it. Because we're going to depart from the thing God's trying to do with us, and we're going to go our own way and do our own thing, and we're going to mess our life up, heading away from God. Can I tell you something, though? Listen, you've got an opportunity to live for God. But you say, well, I've already messed it up. Now, for you young people, you've got an opportunity to not mess it up. But you say, but I already have messed it up. What do I do now? Now you just go from where you're at right now, go forward. You say, this last year, I really messed a lot of things up this last year. Join the club. Join the club. A lot of us have messed a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I look back over my year and I say, I wish I'd have done this better. I wish I'd have done that better. I wish I'd have been a better leader. I wish I'd have prayed more. I wish I would have read more. I wish I would have done this in this person's life instead of doing that in that person's life. It's a lot of things I'd like to redo. But you know, all I can do is I can say, God, henceforth, I'm going to do some things different. From this point forward. So listen, I don't know why I keep coming back to this, but some of you young people, you know what you need to do? You need to have a henceforth morning this morning. You need to say this. From this point forward, I'm going to have to change some things. I'm going to listen to mom and dad. They love me. They wouldn't be telling me the things they're telling me if they didn't love me. For some of us that are in church this morning, we need to have a henceforth moment this morning and say this. That preacher's preaching things to me because he loves me. And that's why he's telling me the things he's telling me. Because he wants the very best for my life. And we have a henceforth moment this morning. From this, I can't change who I used to be. I can't change where I used to go. Can't change what I used to do. But I can change where I am going in the future. I can change what I am going to be doing in the future. I can change who I am going to be for the future. From this point forward, I'm going to make a change. Amen. And all of us need that. How many of you would just raise your hand this morning and say this, I need a henceforth moment right now? Yeah. I'm not talking about salvation. If you're lost, you need one right now. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you're not saved this morning, I mean, if you are saved this morning, and maybe you've had some wrecks in the past, can I tell you, there's something that's very interesting that Paul says. You can't change the past, but you can change the future. He made this statement in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Listen now, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm going to say that with me. I'm going to say it again, then I'm going to get you to say it. Watch this. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, I want you to say it with me. Forgetting those things which are behind. You got to do that. To have a henceforth experience, you're going to have to say, I'm going to forget the past. I can't do anything about it. I'm going to deal with the future. And so this is what he says. Forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before. Going forward, henceforth, I reach forth those things which are before. Then he says this in verse number 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press forward. I'm going to push forward to doing what God has for my future. Can't do that in my past. I forget the things in the past. I push forward. So this is what he says. I press towards the mark. And this it says this in verse 15 of Philippians 3. Watch this. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, as many of us have had this experience with God, be thus minded. And anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, watch this. Listen real close. Nevertheless, whereunto you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. You know, he's saying this. Listen, I want you to get a hold of this. You got to get it. I can't do anything about who I used to be. I have to forget those things which are behind. I have to press forward towards the mark that God has for my future. And this is what I do in the now, the right now. You're living in the right now. This is what he said. The things you already know to do, the things you've already attained to, that you've already got, start doing those things now.
Amen.
As you press towards the future. And that can be a blessing in your life. You know what's interesting about driving a car? You got a really big front windshield, right? You got a really small rearview mirror. It's not the opposite. It's not a really big rearview mirror with a little bitty thing you can see out the front, right? Why? Because you're going forward in the car. And if you spent all your time looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to wreck the future. And that's the thing with this life. You can't spend all your time looking in the rearview mirror of life. Henceforth, from this time forward, you need to do some things different in your life. If you're a Christian, there ought to be a change that's beginning to take place in your life. Should be something changing. From henceforth, I'm going to have a different life. Many people have these New Year's resolutions and they come up with them. And sometimes they keep them, sometimes they don't. But can I tell you, you need to make a New Year's resolution right now, this morning, in your heart is this. I'm going to have a henceforth moment today. And from this point forward, I cannot change who I used to be, but I will change who I'm going to be. With the help of God, I will change that person.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you this. That was page one of three pages. That was the introduction to the message. But I will tell you this. Some of you are grimacing. I'm not going to do it this morning. But this is something you need to get. I need you to come back tonight. I need you to come back tonight because tonight I'm going to show you what the Bible says about how you can have a henceforth life. You need to have one. I'm going to show you tonight how you can have that. And folks, if you're really serious about having a changed life in the future, you need to be back tonight. I'm just going to tell you some things. Some of you, in the past year, you have been wrecked with sin in your life. Wrecked you. I mean, wrecked your life with sin last year. There needs to be a change this year. Romans 6 says, henceforth, we should no longer serve sin. Now that you've had an experience with God. From now on, it should not have dominion over us. This should be a change. And I'm going to show you some things tonight that will help you have a henceforth life when it comes to several areas of your life, if you will put those things in practice. And if you're serious about it, having a different life this year, you come back tonight and get a hold of everything you can get in this. Let's stand to our feet. If you physically can, let's stand. We're going to pray together this morning. Miss Laura is going to come to the piano and play. Brother Aaron's going to come get us a song. Let me make this statement to you this morning. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then you may be a lot like Naaman. I mean, you really might be. You might be a lot like Naaman. You may be saying this, well, I'm waiting on God to come to me on my terms. It's going to be a long wait. God doesn't come to us on our terms. What you need to do is you need to ask the same question the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter number 16. What must I do to be saved? And he said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he said, your whole house. It's going to affect everybody in your whole family. And so what you need to do this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to have experience like Naaman. You need to come to a place you realize there's not many gods. And folks, can I tell you something? There's not many ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways, the many ways. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. There's a way that seems right to you, a way that seems right to you, and a way that seems right to you. But here's what it says. But the ways thereof are the ways of death. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's what he said. If you never had that experience with God, then you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ this morning before it's everlasting too late to do it. But if you are saved, then what you need to say this morning, we're going to have an altar call in a minute and give you a chance to pray. You can pray where you're at. You can come to the altar and pray. What you need to do is you need to say, God, there are some things that need to change in my life. How many of you would say that? There's some things that need to change right now in my life. And I need to put those things into practice with your help. God, I can't change who I used to be. Can't change the relationships I've had. Can't change the failures I've had in the past. All I can do, God, is from this point on, is to reconcile what I've broken, apologize for what I've been and what I have been. And now I can start over time untying the knots that I've tied in my life before I ran into you. With your help, I can do that. And I can try to make right what's in the past, but I can only go forward from where I'm at now. I can't undo, close listen to me, before I got saved at 26, I couldn't undo the damage I had done to my marital relationship up to that point. But what I could do is be the new man that I was in Christ Jesus from 26 years old forward. And when I became the new man and my wife saw the new creature, she said something changed in him. And I want that in my life as well. And she got saved.
Amen.
All I can do is say, sorry, Stacy, for taking you to the rat holes I took you to as a lost man. I'm sorry for the hatefulness of what I used to be before I was a lost man, before I was saved. But henceforth, I'm different now.
Amen.
And that's all you can do. And the grace of God is sufficient to carry you from where you're at now to where you will be in the future. You say, but I've messed a lot of stuff up. Listen, I want you to understand, people say, I don't go to church because they're full of a bunch of messed up people. Yep, you're right. From the very front up here to the very back, it's full of people that have messed up, that have knots in their lives. You know what we're all doing? We're all, through the grace of God, untying the knot one string at a time.
Amen.
And what we need to say is, from this point on, I'm going to be the changed person through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the Scripture working in my life. God will change me. I can't change who I used to be, but I can change who I'm going to be. And that's what you need to make that decision this morning in your life, for you to make that decision. Lord God, Father, we love you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you. There's a word, Father, in your Bible that has become so important to me, and the word is long-suffering. Thank you that you put up with me. Father, if I was you, I don't think I'd put up with me. But I'm thankful that you do put up with me. Father, I'm thankful that your mercy is new every day. I'm thankful that your grace is sufficient. Father, I'm thankful that you have given me the Word of God to help me. You've given me the Spirit of God to help me. And you've done the same for every person in this room that has put their faith in you. And so, Father, I pray that if there's somebody that's lost this morning, you deal with them about their lost condition. But those of us that are saved this morning, that from henceforth, from this time forward, we would give our lives to you and allow you to start changing us and making us not who we used to be, but who we're going to be. Father, I'm thankful that you're still working on me, like the song says. I'm thankful for that. In making me what you want me to be. Thank you. Father, you said in Romans 8, you will conform us to your image. And I know it's a big construction job on my life. So, Father, thank you for continuing to work. Father, I pray that in the hearts of these people this morning, this would not just be another time they came to church on a Sunday morning, but they would have a henceforth morning this morning. It'd work in their lives. Father, we love you. We thank you for all you do. Have your way in this invitation time, in Jesus' name. Amen. What page do you have for us?